Well, a few years ago, I was asked by a seniors group at a church that I was a part of at that time to lead a bluegrass worship night. And they said, this was a long time ago, and they said, whatever you're going to play, please make sure that you play This World Is Not My Home, just a passing through. Do you know that song? This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Well, that is a true song and a true statement. As followers of Jesus, this world is not our home. We are just a passing through. But it's also true that we're not just a passing through. I mean, many of us will look forward to living 70, 80, 90 years if you grew up drinking Langford water. So what do we do in that time? What do we do as citizens of heaven living on earth as in exile, as it were? That was the question that the people of Israel in exile had to wrestle with as they lived in Babylon. You know, they had been torn away from their homes by a foreign power. They were stuck in this land now and hoping for all the world that they could get back again to Jerusalem. What do you do in that situation? Do you dig in your heels and resist the people who pulled you into exile in the first place? Do you just, hide in a hole and pretend that nothing is going on differently? Do you just kind of give up your former identity, your identity that you were from home, and come back and fit in with the culture around you? You know, these are questions that, I'm not sure what's happening here. These are questions that all of us need to wrestle with too. You know, we are citizens of heaven. We are, in a sense, living in exile here on earth. How do we relate to the culture around us? Do we resist it at every turn? Do we fit in without even thinking about it? Do we become so earthly-minded that we are no heavenly good? How do we, as people of God, live in exile when we are truly far from home? That's a question that Jeremiah takes up in his letter, in his book, in the passage of Scripture that we are going to look at today. Turn with me to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29 is actually a really neat chapter. It's actually a letter that Jeremiah wrote to the people of Israel who were in exile. So for some reason, Jeremiah the prophet did not get carried off into Babylon. And so he's sitting at home in Jerusalem, and he's written this letter. Apparently they had good UPS service back then. And he's gotten the letter over to the exiles in Babylon, and it has made its way into our Bible. So Jeremiah 29:1, this is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles, and to the priests and the prophets and all the other people that Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Okay, so here's the letter. What does it say? Verse 4. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I have carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. So here it is. What to do when you live in exile. And it's neat, because if you look at verse 7 and verse 13, you're going to see the very same word. Some of you have your Bibles. Do you see that word there, verse 7 and verse 13? Seek. Seek the well-being of the land of your exile, and seek the Lord with all your heart. There you have it. What to do while living in exile? Seek the well-being of the land of your exile. That's verse 7. Verse 13, seek the Lord with all of your heart. Let me unpack that one at a time here. Verse 4. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and daughters. So that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. You know, some of the people who are in exile are probably very resistant to the idea that they might be stuck now in Babylon. You can see in verses 8 and 9 there that there were some prophets in Babylon actually telling them, keep your bags packed, because I'm pretty sure God's going to bring us home anytime now. But Jeremiah says, don't listen to them. He says in Jeremiah 29:10, you're going to be there 70 years. So you might as well put down roots, build houses, plant gardens, marry and marry your children to other Jewish people, because you're going to be there for a while. And don't just settle down. Verse 7, also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Like literally, seek the shalom of the city. That's like the holistic, all-encompassing well-being of the city. Do everything that you can to make that world a better place while you're there. God says, while you are living in exile, don't just look out for your own well-being, right? Don't close yourself away in your own little hovel. Instead, look out for the well-being of your city. This is a sort of ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country situation, right? Invest in it. Work for its benefit. Do all that you can to make it a better place. And then you can see in verse 7, pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, then you are going to prosper too. So here's the first thing to do when you are in exile. Seek the well-being of the land that you are living in. There's a second one, though, too. And that's, of course, seek the Lord with all of your heart. You can see that in verse 11, what is a very famous verse. Put down roots, God says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and the places where I banished you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. This, I think, is very important for the people of Israel in exile to hear, because a lot of them are probably thinking, why would God let this terrible thing happen to us? I mean, the ones that were paying attention, no, well, it's because of our sin. But some of the people are probably going, why would God abandon us like this? Is God just out to destroy us and to harm us? I mean, we're stuck here in this city. Why would we put down roots? Because I don't want to be here any longer than I am. What is God doing here? And then Jeremiah's letter comes along and it says, listen, I am not doing this to harm you. God says, I know what I'm doing. I know the plans that I have for you, and they are good plans. They are plans that stretch into the future. God says, I am going to restore you. I'm going to get you out of this difficult situation. I will bring you home. I'm giving you a future and a hope, so don't lose heart. Don't lose heart, and don't get so accommodated to the culture around you that you forget about God in the first place. Right? The people of Israel are in exile because they sought the Lord only half-heartedly. Right? They chased after other gods. They neglected justice. Even when they did go to church, what do? They sort of, you know, their hearts are far from me. But God says, listen, you need to seek me with your whole heart. I'm going to bring you home, but don't take me for granted. Seek me with your whole heart, knowing that my plans for you are good. Seek me with your whole heart. That was God's message to the people of Israel, and I think that that is God's message to us as well. Knowing that God is always working for good, seek the well-being of the lands that we live in, and seek the Lord with all your heart. Knowing that God's plans for you are good, seek the well-being of the land, seek the Lord with all your heart. You know, it might be, in difficult circumstances, easy to think that God has abandoned us, or that God has left you alone in this moment. Or you might think, why on earth would God do this to me? I remember the very first time that I heard Jeremiah 29:11. I was going through a difficult time at that time. I mean, it's interesting how perspective shows you that I can't even remember what that time was now. But it was tough in that moment. And this French-Canadian girl and her husband said to me, you know what? God knows what he's doing. His plans are not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you a future and a hope. And I really think that that is consistent with how this plays in Jeremiah's letter. If things are tough for you right now, you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is not intending to hurt you with this. God's plans are not to harm you or destroy you. God is probably refining you for the next leg of the journey. God is not wicked or capricious. He is gentle and kind. Right? A bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering wick he will not snuff. Right? God will preserve us. God is holding out for us a future and hope. And I think that is important for us to realize, because sometimes I think that we listen to this and we go, okay, well, God's going to make things right away. If God's plans are to prosper us and not to harm us, to give a future and a hope, we go, okay, so God's going to change things tomorrow. But this is a very future-looking promise, right? I mean, the people of Israel were going to be in exile for 70 years. But the future was good. And so they could have hope. Now, in the meantime, what do? Well, we seek the welfare of the land, and we seek the Lord with all our hearts. You know, I think that we've got that one down pretty well. You are, the first one, seek the welfare of the land. I mean, you're serving the community that you live in. You serve on agricultural boards and library boards. You put together meals for people who, you know, are marginalized at Why Not. You're getting kids to school by crosswalks and school buses. You're working in careers that advance culture and society in really meaningful ways. And you're getting to know your neighbors and you're praying for them. That is serving and looking out for the well-being of the land where you live in. That's awesome. Keep it up. And the way that this group has continued to meet faithfully through the pandemic suggests to me that you are seeking after the Lord with all of your heart. You know, it is certainly possible that in the interest of serving the world, we get so entangled in it that it chokes us and keeps us from growing, but that's why we seek the Lord with all our heart, isn't it? You know, Romans 12:2 from the Message puts it like this: don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in even without thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. So as you seek the well-being of the world, seek the Lord with all your heart. You know, in the end, the song was right. This world is not our home. We are just a passing through. But in the meantime, we can seek the well-being of the world around us and seek the Lord with all our heart, knowing that God's plans for us are good. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for these words to us. Thank you for Jeremiah 29:11 that reminds us that your plans are not to harm us. Your plans are to prosper us, to give us a future and a hope. And knowing that, Lord, we can fearlessly invest in the world around us. We can put our resources at the service of others, our time and our money. And Lord, I thank you for this congregation who truly desires to serve others. I pray that you would help us to continue to serve the world around us. I pray that they would recognize in this not just charity, but the goodness of God expressed in concrete means. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to seek you with all of our hearts, to set time aside, to read the Bible, to pray to you, to pray for our neighbors to you. Lord, I thank you that you are always with us, that your plans are always good. And I pray that you would help us to honor you in the world in which we live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.